Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton head women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. Coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry. Good to be here.
So as we set up down here in the Levine Broadcast Center and we get ready to do our podcast each week, in the literally 30 seconds before we get going, you will say or do something that will, I feel like, carries over nicely into the beginning of our conversation. And now it was turning your phone off. And can you turn your watch off? And it made me wonder about your level of being connected. Do you ever just shut your phone all the way off, or are you just on call all the time?
Well, I have to say, I've been having trouble with my new iPhone 11, and so for the last couple of days, it's only been getting email updates if I turn it on, off, and then on again. So for a while, I was a little disconnected. But, you know, oftentimes I've tried to get out of the habit of checking email again one time before I go to sleep. You know, in the season, getting some quality sleep is really important and something I tend to struggle with. So I try and put it to bed by like 9 o'clock and then just see what's waiting for me in the morning.
So my father used to have a rule that he would never check the mail, the actual U.S. mail, on the weekends, because if there was bad news, it would wait till Monday. And you just contrast that now with, you know, the level of which people stay connected. But I would think that there are certain professions that lend themselves more to shutting down. Coaching, I don't think, is one of them, especially in-season coaching.
No, it's not. And you're always, like, just looking for up scores. And, you know, you have to be accessible to players who reach out to you. Fortunately, most of those things are going to come through text. And that's something that you really never shut down.
Do you think back to what the difference is from what, because I think about that all the time, like back to when I was in high school, forget like professionally, but like when I was in high school or college and just didn't have any of these ways of staying in touch with the world. And even when you look, if you watch like an old movie or an old TV show and you see simple things like the phone mounted on the wall or they're getting a busy signal or they need to get in touch with the guy, but they can't do it and just send text, and like they didn't have that back then. And you know, just the way it's changed everything, but especially professionally, especially coaching.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's probably true in so many professions. I mean, it's nothing's a 9-to-5 job anymore, and you really are. Sometimes I remind myself, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not an ER doctor. Like, some things can wait, because I think it is important to have a little bit of downtime for yourself. But, you know, nowadays I might get a letter from a recruit and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it because it's so, you know, it's so unusual.
I can't remember the last time I got an actual letter. I remember in college when you had the mailboxes and you had to go check your mail and you'd look through the little slot and there'd be a letter sitting there for you and be all excited about it. And but segueing into the world of Princeton women's lacrosse, your team coming off its Ivy League opening 19-7 win over Columbia. The next challenge is this Sunday at Stony Brook. Team ranked, I believe, 6th this week. Princeton ranked 11th. Beyond that is a trip to Jacksonville after that for spring break practices and the game against a very good Jacksonville team. And then coming back and going and playing up at Brown. So let's talk about all these things as we move forward a bit. And let's talk. Let's start with Kyla Sears, and we'll start with what was just a great picture. I don't know if you saw the picture of you handing her the ball with the whole team around you after she went over 200 points. It was a great picture and a really nice moment for her.
Totally nice moment for her. And, you know, just the one of the best competitors you're ever going to meet. I mean, she's just the 8th player in Princeton history to reach 200 points. She's certainly surpassed that now with the rest of that game. And to do that early in her junior year, I mean, that's statement making. So she's on target to do, you know, some really great things at Princeton.
Yeah, she's on target to pass Olivia Hompp as the all-time leading scorer at Princeton. You sort of knew what you were getting with her when she got here, but do you expect, you knew you were getting a very big-time scorer. You also knew you were getting somebody who was coming off of knee problem that cost her senior year of high school.
Yeah.
You know you're getting somebody who can score goals. Do you know somebody, you're getting somebody who's going to make a run at your all-time scoring record when you saw her, or you just never know?
I mean, you know, it's hard to say with most kids, but I think with Kyla, it was really obvious how good she was and that she was going to be a great college player. Just her skill set and her dynamic athleticism, her competitiveness on the field, you could tell that she was going to be a great one for Princeton. And she certainly has not disappointed from her freshman year when she broke the Ivy League freshman scoring record, and obviously the Princeton freshman scoring record, and all the way through into this year.
So she is also blended extremely well with the two freshmen who are playing on attack, Kari Bonanno and yes. Grace Taukes. What's it like trying to build chemistry between people who haven't played before together before, but with whom having great chemistry on the field is such an imperative if you're going to be a good goal-scoring team?
Yeah, it is. And so
and
much
you could factor other people in there, Katie Riley and Kate Mulham and all the other people who haven't played a lot.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I think that's, you know, our offense this year, especially with Tess having been out so far this season, and we're looking forward to getting her back at some point soon. But, you know, that is a big growth area for us, getting that chemistry on offense. And so much of that, I think, you know, it was tough in the fall, but over the course of November, December, January, leading up into February, I think the team really put in a lot of time, not just with coaches, but on their own, building those relationships, building that chemistry where, you know, you have to know as an attack unit what each other likes, what each other's skill set is, what they're good for, you know, little plays that you can work with each other that work within your offensive sets. And, you know, we really had developed that heading into February. And then with an injury, it's like, okay, now that changes the face of what you have out there for a little while. And so that's, you know, other people are stepping up and trying to figure that out.
So when you mentioned the injury to Tess, and we said it at the time, that you never want to see, obviously never want to see anybody get hurt. You especially don't want to see Tess get hurt. But it did open the door for some other people to be forced to step up, and the two freshmen have just done an amazing job.
Yeah, they really have. They've taken on a lot of the load. Kari's playing midfield for us, so she's not in there all the time. But every time she is, she's a threat to score. She's been great on the draw circle and getting better all the time on defense. Really fast, can lead the transition. And then Grace has really been the one who's just progressed by leaps and bounds from the fall. She's really come into her own, and the two of them, they're just playing with a maturity and a fearlessness on the field. And so, you know, they're making us better in every way, and it's just great to see and to think about having them for 4 years.
So we've talked about Tess, and it strikes me as I observe from my vantage point that she's pretty engaged in, you know, helping out however she can, and we've seen this a lot from kids while they're waiting to come back. Especially team leaders, but what's her attitude been like?
I think her attitude's been great, and actually she did a couple of easy drills with us yesterday, so she's trying to get her feet under her, you know, so we are anticipating her coming back at some point, but she's, you know, she's a great team leader. She's all for the team. She's never been about her own points. You know,
people say that all the time. Maybe more than any other athlete I've ever seen, that is 100% true of Tess Dorsey.
Yeah, she's very, you know, her humility level is very high, oftentimes too high. We're like, Tess, like, take the ball and go. You know, I think she even said to Karen she'll feel bad when she comes back because, you know, she'll take someone else's spot. We're like, are you kidding me? You're a senior. This is your spot, you know. We're all going to be so excited when she's back. But that is Tess.
So the game with Columbia was, you went into that game. It was a game you figured to win, and you did. And it was one of those games that got away from them quickly, and it was, I don't even remember what the score was after maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but it became very one-sided very quickly. What are you thinking as the game unfolds?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, when you're in a game like that, you really want to keep your playing level as high as you possibly can and just really try and execute the details of the game right. It was a great opportunity to get a lot of kids in that game. I think every healthy player played, but we only got to play two of our three goalies. So in terms of field players, everybody got on the field. Everybody got some, you know, good playing time and experience that they can build on. And it was great to see, you know, who might step up. And we saw that in Gabby Hamburger.
I was about to bring up Gabby. So Gabby Hamburger had 5 assists. She becomes the 9th player in program history to have 5 assists in a game. She was one off the school single game record. when you, you know, you mentioned that you get a chance to get everybody in the game, and sometimes you see a player will get a goal or an assist or two goals or something like that. Five's a lot, and five assists to five different players. I watched the video stream while the men's game was going on, so I couldn't really follow that closely, but she certainly looked like she saw the field. She looked confident.
Yeah.
Everything was with her head up. It was, you know, like from my vantage point, she, you know, I was very impressed with her performance. What did you think?
Yeah, I would say the same. I thought she did a great job. Sometimes when players go in and they haven't played a lot, they get nervous and, you know, they're very tentative, but she was incredibly poised and confident. Her strength has always been her vision. And so a kid like that who goes in and performs in that game, she's getting more looks in practice. And so, you know, she wasn't, and we weren't under the kind of defensive pressure that we'll be under in most of our games moving forward. So now it's like seeing, can she handle the physicality? Can she handle tight marking behind? Can she still make those feeds when kids are marked tightly? But it's a kid who now is definitely in your mind, and you're thinking about using her as you move forward. Certainly in certain situations when you're playing against a zone where there's a lot of those good feeding opportunities.
So you mentioned moving forward, and moving forward means Sunday at Stony Brook. The Sea Wolves have had one of the more successful teams in women's college lacrosse over the last few years. They were number one team in the country for a long time 2 years ago. Seems like they're a perennial NCAA tournament team these days. It's the kind of team that you love to play. I believe you're heading up on Saturday.
Yeah, we head up on Saturday, game Sunday.
So it's a good opportunity to get away a bit and have a sort of a business trip to get out there and play a really good opponent. What do you see from the Seawolves?
Well, I mean, they're just really tough. Their win over Syracuse, you know, a signature win for them already. I know they had a tough loss
to Florida
in a really close game, but they're just so athletic. You know, they've got a number of really dynamic players and scorers. Allie Kennedy's got to be one of the most powerful, explosive, fast players in the...
She has 12 goals.
Yeah, in the college
games.
In 4 games. You know, and they are awesome off the 8-meter. I think they're shooting 60% off the 8-meter. So defensively, I think they're going to give us a lot to handle. And, you know, we've been focusing a lot on, you know, our positioning this week and trying to limit our fouls against them, but still being aggressive, but not, you know, unintentionally putting them on, you know, or intentionally putting them on the 8-meter, you know, trying to limit fouls inside that eight and playing just really great defense.
So you mentioned their loss to Florida. This week, Dartmouth beat Florida.
Yeah.
It's been a really good start for the Ivy League in women's lacrosse. It's been a really good start for the Ivy League in men's lacrosse as well. On the women's side, 3 nationally ranked teams in the top maybe 12 or so this week. Dartmouth moves up after the win over Florida. Penn's unbeaten. They have a big game against Loyola. League looking tough. You come back from Jacksonville to play at Brown, a team that you lost to last year, and then you have all these games coming up in a row. I'm guessing, I ask every coach this on these podcasts, Carla Berube, always focused on the next thing. I guess you're not looking ahead to how the league is doing or how you have to be ready to play those teams down the road. You're just focusing on the task at hand.
Yeah, you can really only focus on the next game. Certainly, we keep our eye out and see how everybody's doing and who's leading them in scoring, how the goalkeepers look. But it's really about the next game. And more importantly than that, it's about your team continuing to progress and get better every day. You know, we've got to take care of what we need to take care of on our end, and we'll be able to compete against the teams we play if we do that.
So it's Princeton at Stony Brook on Sunday, not Saturday, but Sunday, 1 o'clock start?
It's a noon
start. Noon start, okay.
Daylight savings, don't forget that. So it's really like an 11 a.m. start.
Nice. Noon. So noon, Stony Brook, if you've never been to their stadium, it's a great place to watch lacrosse. I believe it's been where the women's lacrosse championships have been held more than once.
Yes.
It should be a very good game. 2 highly ranked teams, Princeton and Stony Brook, out on Long Island, if you get a chance to get out there. Or you can watch the game online. We'll be back next week and talk about that game. We'll look ahead to the trip to Jacksonville and the Ivy League game at Brown after that. Coach, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton Head Women's Lacrosse Coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thanks for being with us each week, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Lacrosse.